I binge watched a show recently where the line is repeated a few different times, and I saw it on Reddit recently that it's gotten to the point where it's a little corny. I disagree. And the phrase is details matter. So as you think about details, what details are important to you? As you think about that, let's pray. God, thank you for your word, for friends. For friends of all ages that remind us of important truths in this world, and friends that remind us from ages long ago that you are faithful, you are good, and you are present with your people. Lord, by your presence today, help us to see you, to hear you, to love you the way you see and hear and love us and this world. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, what details matter to you? There are some of mine that I think when memes first started becoming a thing, this is one of the first ones I saw, and it still gets me every time. So we're going to do this first one, right? Punctuation saves lives, right? Let's eat grandma or let's eat grandma, right? This can be one or the other. There are some other ones where punctuation is important. I thought these were fun. In a similar way, let's eat kids. It's time to eat kids, or it's time to eat kids. Like, some days we're a little Tyrannosaurus-like, and we may want to devour our children, but we don't actually, because punctuation matters. All right, and next, help a thief, or help a thief, right? And I think I got one more, maybe two more. Stop clubbing baby seals. This one's... I don't know. I found this. I wasn't even looking for this one. I'm like, I got to throw that in. All right. Is there? Yeah. And like, no more tacos. More tacos. Not no more tacos. But all right. So punctuation matters. And here's where I'm going with this. In our reading today, the details are important. And that's a lot for me to say because in general, details aren't that important to me aside from punctuation when it comes important to memes. But in general, and to God in particular, details are important. Now, details, God doesn't get distracted by the details, right? He sees it all. He takes it all in, but he also sees down way beyond anything we can see. And the furthest we can see is the molecular level, right? But God sees even further than that. And God sees it all at every level. And we see at the level of community and at the level of faith, in our reading today, that details matter to God, that details carry power, and then we see the details of a new spirit. So those are the three things I want to focus on today. Details matter to God, details carry power, and the details of a new spirit. And that's our sermon theme today as we talk about all things new, right? We're continuing on that theme. We're talking about a new spirit today, a new spirit. That's not to be confused with the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit is not new, right? He is eternal. And as we confessed in the Creed, these are the things, and we, just so you know, we talk about the Holy Spirit every Sunday. Right now, it may not be memorable, but we do. We talk about everything he does every Sunday. Now, some people talk about, oh, we, you know, the Holy Spirit is the forgotten God, or like he's the God we never talk about. We talk about him all the time, right? He's the God that, so as we confess, we believe in the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Christian Church. Church only happens because the Holy Spirit is bringing us together, right? The communion of saints. We have an actual connection, not like a weird, mystical, kind of ethereal connection to ghosts, but we have an actual spiritual connection to people who have died in faith. So when we commune, the Holy Spirit connects us to them as they are in communion at rest with God, right? So we're connected to the saints. We're in communion with the saints. The forgiveness of sins, right? The Spirit works the power of forgiveness in our midst. Because Jesus died and rose, the Holy Spirit brings power to bring us forgiveness. So the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, right? When the last day comes, just before everything is made new, there'll be the resurrection of everything. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing things to life. That's what the Spirit does. And life everlasting. So new life at the resurrection, life everlasting. But in keeping with what God does, right? This the sense of what he does that's now, things that he's doing now and not yet. So there's now and yet, not yet. There's a couple things happening as we read about what God is doing with the Holy Spirit according to his work through Peter today and the other disciples in the community. So as we think about how details matter to God, let's look at verses 12 and 13. And you might have to go a little bit deeper into the slides for verse 13, Ava, if you don't mind. But verse 12, read this with me, if you will. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." Okay. So there's a lot happening here. There's like a string of verbs. In verse 11, it said, the multitude was bewildered. They're amazed, perplexed, and they're saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Right? The first Lutherans. And this is kind of an inside joke. I apologize. And if you read the catechism at all, the question repeated throughout it is, "What does this mean?" Right? In German, it's "Was ist das?" Another language, it's what translates to in other languages, which I'm still learning. But the important thing in here is they're like, they don't know what to make of this, right? And that's important because sometimes when God acts, when the Holy Spirit is active and moving, it's hard to make sense of what God is doing. And so when we encounter things we don't understand, we kind of mentally fill it in, right? And it happens with things that we see, right? It's called perceptual, now I wrote this down, perceptual restoration, right? And that's where you kind of see like a bunch of lines in a row, and as you look quickly, it may all look like a solid line, but as you like slow down and pause, you actually see there are small gaps between each of the lines or each of the dashes. And so instead of one line, you actually see that it's a bunch of broken up lines, right? Perceptual restoration. And so there are things, there are gaps our minds can fill in. So when the crowd is encountering something they don't know what to make sense of, like they see and hear the word of God coming from these Galileans, most of them uneducated, right? But they're speaking in all of their languages and all the nations they're from. They don't know what to do with that. And so enter the comedians, right? Now, quite honestly, if I was in the crowd that day and I saw an opportunity for a joke, I would probably try to make one. It probably wouldn't be all that funny. This wasn't all that funny, right? They've had new wine. Not just any wine, new wine. The good stuff, the potent stuff, right? But that, it was 9 in the morning. Like, even for people who drink a lot, that's pretty early. So it wasn't that they were drunk, right? And this is what this illustrates to us, though, that like the crowd, we need something outside ourselves to help us make sense of what's happening, right? There are some things that happen in our world, some things that happen in our church that do not compute, right? Some ways that people who are called to love each other treat each other horribly, despicably. And yet, even as we are the sons and daughters of God, people who have been baptized into Jesus, crucified with him, raised from the dead, our sins are forgiven, we know it, we believe it, we believe, teach, and confess it, somehow we combat one another like the other person is the enemy. And they're not. And so we need something outside of ourselves to put us in check, to tell us the way things are, to help us make sense of what is actually happening. And that's why details carry power. Details carry power. And so this is Peter addressing the crowd, but not just on his own, right? He didn't prepare this speech that's longer than 20 verses, right? We only have like one part of it, but he goes on for a little bit more. But he didn't prepare this. This is what the Spirit gave him to speak at just the right time. These are a few verses of it, and just a few parts of those verses. Read along with me, if you will. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. All right. So we've read the whole reading before. I'm just going back and grabbing this, right, as a way, like Peter is the one the Spirit tapped for the crowd, which means they're ordinary individuals that God chooses to speak through, to use, to bring clarity, to bring understanding, to bring the gospel into the lives of people who on their own will not get it. And it's not to insult people who don't understand. Because at one point, in fact, several points in my life recently, there are still things I don't understand. Or things that I've only understood because the Holy Spirit has used someone in my life to help me understand, oh, this is what this means now. This is what humility means now. This is what it means to look like to love unconditionally. This is what it means to look like to forgive, even when nobody is asking me for forgiveness. So this is what God is working through Peter. And he's saying here, it's not sin that's at work, right? It's not foolishness. It's not stupidity. This is God doing something at work. God is up to something here. He's drawing attention to what God is doing. And it's not just like this demonstration, right? There's more to it than that. It's deeper than that. It's something that God promised hundreds of years before that he is bringing about now. And it's not that he didn't fulfill it earlier. It's that he's fulfilling it again in an even deeper and even more profound way, right? So through the prophet Joel, he spoke all these words about pouring out his spirit on all people and on male and female servants, on men and women, and it won't be confined to an age or a gender. All of God's people will experience this pouring out of his spirit. And God did that in the day of exile, restoring his people back to the promised land. He brought them back out of their exile, out of the consequences of their sin. He restored them to the land he promised them. He made that promise to them all over again. And he sent his spirit at that time too. And then certainly through the life of Jesus, God's Spirit was resting on Jesus throughout his 3 years of ministry. And then when the resurrected Jesus is with his disciples in that upper room, that locked doors, and Jesus just appears with them, he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Do you think the Spirit didn't go out then? Right? No, of course it did. Right? When Jesus speaks, like, things happen. So he filled his disciples with the Spirit then. And this is something that God is doing again, even more. Right? And this is Pentecost, 50 days. Now why does Pentecost matter? Well, people were gathered for Pentecost in Jerusalem, not from Passover that happened over 50 days ago. Right? They came back to Jerusalem to celebrate God giving the law to Moses. That's what Pentecost originally was, right? That's why people would gather in Jerusalem. People from three different continents would gather in Jerusalem for this festival, celebrating God revealing to Moses how to live by faith in this world. And now again, God is speaking, he's revealing to his people how to live by faith in this new covenant, right? We spoke about that a couple times ago, how Jesus was bringing to his disciples and his people into a new covenant with a new commandment. Now here's a new spirit that God is giving his people to live in this new covenant with him. God is doing something here in this Acts 2 upper room in the Jerusalem multitude, right? So it started with the people in that room, and then it continued through people's words, and then those words were received by ears and hearts. And as we read the rest of chapter 2, we learn that over 3,000 people believed in Jesus because they heard Jesus in their own native language, and then they heard the words of Peter. And the Spirit worked through all of that to bring them faith. And they were baptized. And the Spirit worked through that to hold them in faith. And they didn't just stay in Jerusalem, right? The people from that were gathered there from three different continents, they went home. And they took that message with them. They took that faith, that power, that Holy Spirit dwelling within them, went with them to their back to their other countries. God was doing something there. God is doing something here. God is doing something here this morning. God is doing something in your heart at the corner of 3rd and Liberty. He's doing something in this city. He's doing something in your home, in your neighborhood. God is up to something in you. And it is that Pentecost action, the work of the Holy Spirit, not only to bring you in faith, but like Peter and like others, to speak through you, to give faith to a multitude. And maybe that multitude for you is just one. Maybe it's just one, and it's a conversation with one and not, or two, and not a multitude. But my hunch is you probably have more than one friend or more than one person with whom you interact during the day. Even if it's just a phone call or over Zoom, you have more than one interaction with an individual. And maybe for the sake of one, that's the one God has given you. But if you have more than one, God is working through you in every interaction, every conversation, to draw that person, to draw those people in to his power, to his work, to his name. So God is doing this work in your heart, a place for him in your heart, a place for him in your family, a place for Jesus, and it's also a place to be sent from, right? So just like the multitude didn't stay there, right? We don't stay here. It may seem sometimes, especially if you're here a lot, that you live at the corner of 3rd and Liberty. But we don't. We do have other homes. And we live out of those places. And so God gathers us here, but he scatters us back to the places where we live, with that power, with that word from him that brings life and faith and the things we need to live by it. That's what the details of a new spirit look like. The details of a new spirit. And this is especially in verse 21 from our reading today. I invite you to read that with me now. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a promise. That is gospel. That is good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatever your background is, whoever your people are, whatever people you came from, whatever people you're a part of now, all the different groups of people with whom you are a part, whatever distinction you have among humanity, male, female, German, American, Irish, African, Arabic, some of the other distinctions here, Ethiopians, Medes, Persians, Elamites, Cretans, like people who had low reputation and people who had high reputation, Jewish and Gentiles, whatever the distinctions, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is a precious promise. Because there are going to be times where you're going to doubt that. There are going to be times where that's not going to seem like it's a thing or like it actually matters. And that is the temptation of sin. That is the temptation of the other thoughts and teachings that are out there in this world and in our, if we're incredibly honest, sometimes at work in our own hearts. There are times my own heart doesn't want to believe the things that God has spoken are true. And yet, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this crowd of 3,000 or more that were from three different continents from the known world at that time, they came for Pentecost, but they went home with something else. They came to celebrate God making something known to Moses. They left with God making something new known to them, a new spirit. And so God is sending them in this new spirit that whoever calls on his name will be saved. What they left with was, and so what God was doing as they left wasn't just that they had this new spirit, but it was that God, the Holy Spirit, made their spirits new. Right? God, the Holy Spirit, made their spirits new. And this wasn't the last time. The Spirit came and did something new, did something like this in not just Joel in the following chapters, not just in Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, and the ongoing Acts, the chapters of Acts that are your life and mine. The Spirit works faith and power in those chapters and in your chapter. And now continues to do that work in you. For the Spirit, for the church, and what we now know is Pentecost, that work is unfinished and ongoing. Unlike the sermon that's about to end, I promise, the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of Pentecost is unfinished and ongoing. The work of the Spirit is to gather people together as his church, to forgive sin here, to keep us connected with those who are at rest by faith, to remind you that the resurrection is real, both Jesus' resurrection and your resurrection that is still to come, and one day that you will be with him and all things will be made new. And until that day, the Spirit works in you and through you to build up faith in you and to build up others through you by faith, and in that faith to see and hear and love our neighbors the way God sees and hears and loves you. Details matter to God because through them, he gives his power. He gives his power to give you and your neighbors a new spirit. And in that power, in that spirit, by faith, to love and serve your neighbors. And as you do that, the God of peace and power will be with you. In his name, amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your power. Lord, through it, you begin to make all things new. You began it with healing. You continued it through resurrection. You continue it now through the pouring out of your Spirit. Lord, for many of us, we have already received your Spirit. And yet, we still pray for you to pour out your Spirit once more, all over again, to continue to open up our eyes and our hearts, that with your power and your life at work in us, we see things that we wouldn't be able to see on our own. We can speak words that we wouldn't be able to speak on our own. And Lord, by your glory, your power, you would reach our neighbors through us for life, for salvation, so that they too, like us, may call in your name and be saved. This we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.